All right, I want to take our Bible and go into the book of Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 6 Wednesday night. I hadn't been studying the book of Revelation, by the way, but I'm pulling something from that again this morning from chapter number 6, please. And we'll stand when we find our place in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. This is future. I want to be dealing with what's in the past and what's in the present more than what's in the future, but yet the future will be included in today's message. So I pray that God will bless you, strengthen you, and encourage you. I want to talk about a subject that many times not dealt with. In Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 12, the 12th verse of the 6th chapter of Revelation reads, "And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." That will happen, ladies and gentlemen. That is not figurative. That is real. The Bible said in verse number 13, "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." God will shake this earth one day. You count on it. Verse 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You can be seated. Our Father, this morning, Lord, I pray you'd undergird us with the power of the living God. Lord, open our voice, our vocal cords. Lord, may we speak forth for you. I pray this morning, Lord, that we will exalt the King, that we'll exalt the Savior. God, we'll exalt the Lord Jesus. And at the same time, Father, help us, Lord, to point out what's wrong and right with us. And Lord, may you show us from the Word of God where we stand. That, Lord, one day we'll be prepared to stand in your holy presence. And Lord, that we one day, Lord, will know you. And Lord, knowing you, just like, Lord, we've been born for ages. And God, we have. We thank you in the mind of God, eternal. Well, we have that eternal life in our soul. Now give us that which we need. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we humbly pray, amen and amen. In verse number 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains." Could you think of anybody else that would not fit in that verse? No. Brother, God has covered it from the four winds of the earth, I'll assure you. Now, we will not be there. Thank God who are born again. That is, those who have been blood-bought, blood-washed will not be there in this particular presence because we will be delivered. But I want to say this to you this morning. And I want to talk about the wrath of God. Brother, there's a God in heaven this morning, and He's a God of love, and yet He is a God of wrath. Amen. I want to try to explain just a little bit about this morning and break this down and take our times and see if we can't get some things in our minds settled and get them fixed that God might get the glory. There's a wrong concept today in many people's minds of what the wrath of God is. The first wrath that God showed was upon Satan when He threw him out of heaven. Then we find that God, and brother, you know what God has a wrath for? For sin. Brother, God hates sin. Keep this in your mind while I'm preaching this morning. God hates sin. Amen. And I go on. Brother, the second time we find God throwing man out of the garden because of his sin. Then we find God taking old Cain and putting a mark on him because of sin. And it comes on down through the Bible. The flood came on the earth because of sin. And God brought the wrath of Himself upon this earth because of sin. We find sin in the lives of the Israelites and not in their lives so much after they got the blood on. But we know that God brought judgment and the wrath of God on Egypt and drowned them in the Red Sea because of sin. We know in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. His wrath of God fell upon them. And what did He destroy Sodom for? Was it because of the sinners? No! It was because of sin! Amen. Now keep this in mind. You get it all out of kilter, you won't know what's going on. You get the wrong concept of God, and many have. We're in a modern day, and in our modern day, and I'll say this, in our so-called Christianity, and I'm going to say it's so-called. Real Christianity is Christ in us. And brother, it's different than what people call Christianity in this day, but our modern people today, they deal not with the wrath of God. They push the wrath of God to the side. They say God is a God of love, and a God of love could not cast a man or a woman into the pits of hell. That's what they say. But that's not what my Bible teaches, and that's not what this Bible preaches. And this preacher's not going to preach anything but the same thing the Word of God says. God said that He cast them into the pits of hell. Amen. And I'll give you the reasons why He'll do that in a minute. Now, and we get to thinking about all this and we get to looking at it. A modern day Christianity, so-called, and actually resist religion. You know what they're trying to do? They're not trying to get people saved, trying to get people right with God. They're trying to solve problems. The church has become a problem solver. We'll help you out here. We'll help you out there. We'll show you this and we'll show you that. We'll try to satisfy and solve your problems. They're out there trying to get things fixed up and straightened out, and we're out there trying to get things to be reformed and so forth. And we're just, if we could just get society changed, if we could just get them educated enough, if we could just get society changed, brother, the world would be different. No, it wouldn't. Amen. Brother, man was in the perfect garden and he sinned against God. Are you with me this morning? I'm telling you the truth. I want to preach to you. Now, the thing we've got to do, and I believe this with all my heart, we've got to convince sinners that they're sinners. We're trying to get people saved that hadn't even got lost. We're trying to get people redeemed that don't even know that they need a redemption. Don't see any reason that they need to go to the altar. Don't see any reason to need on their knees before God. They see no need of repentance in their heart and life. They're blind. They're dead. They're blind. Cannot see the light of day because the devil has blinded their minds. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And they will not come to life. They will not come to light because they don't even know that they're dead. A sinner don't know that he's on his way to hell. A sinner don't know that he's lost and undone. As far as he's concerned, everything's all right and nothing's wrong. Amen. The only way we're going to get them there is to get them hungry and thirsty. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's why we have to get up and preach. Amen. We get up and preach and tell people that they need to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Don't you? Brother, we don't need programs and plans. We don't need some kind of change in the society. What we need to do is preach the salvation of God and the work of God and get people to understand that they're lost and undone without God and present it out there that they want Christ. Brother, we are preaching Christ today in a such a manner that people don't even care whether they come to Him or not. Because they don't know that they need Him. They can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Everybody's going to be all right when this world's over, they think. And if everything's put on the right side of the scale and the left side of the scale, and if the right side wins and got the most, I'll get into heaven. That's the idea and the atmosphere that's in our society today. But that's not Bible. Amen. There is a wrath of God. I believe that. Somebody said, well, if we could just get them more educated, if we could just get them more smarter, if we could just get them more able to solve their problems and get their differences all said and done, brother, if we could get society in a better gear, brother, society would be different. That's not what we're here for. Amen. I'm not here to try to change your society. I'm here to try to see that your life gets changed. Amen. I know the difference. They're looking for answers. And psychiatry. They'll send them to the psychiatrist and they'll go over and lay on the couch. Amen. They'll tell them all the problems. And the problems arise up and the psychiatrist says this. Here's what you need to do. And at the end, he may tell you what you need to get out of the different environment you're in. You need to get out of the society that you're in. You need to get those things changed a little bit. Get you a little bit more educated. We need to educate you a little bit. And, you know, and we're going to get you the place. What we're going to do, we'll treat you with some medicine. Or what we'll do is put you on a better diet. Or you need some exercise. Amen. Or something of that nature. And that's what they're trying. But they go to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist don't open up the Bible and said, look, all men are sinners and all men are headed to hell. And all men need to be saved. And all men need to be born again. And you've got a spiritual problem and you need to confess that before the living God. Amen. You don't find too many preachers even telling that. Am I right? Ain't too many preachers even preach that. Brother, somebody said, well, the sinner, he, you know what he is, preacher? He's the product of his environment. Put him in another environment, it won't change. Said he's a product of bad education. He ain't got enough education. Why, we got educated fools today. And they don't know how to get to heaven. They'll blow their brains out because they're so educated and can't figure out how to get from earth to heaven. Amen. I'm telling the truth. Preacher's the childhood I had. Quit blaming the childhood and recognize I know what it is you've got a problem with. The Bible says you was born in sin, you're shaping in iniquity. The Bible said that you did not have to be taught this, but your theology has been wrong for ages. Sin is under your mind and in your mind and in your heart, and you can't get away from it. Amen. Sin is your problem. Sin needs to be dealt with. Amen. Well, what do you do, preacher? Why, you give them the gospel. That's what you do. How do you give them the gospel? Preaching. Every sinner needs preaching. Amen. Preaching's what made me see I was a sinner. You three fellas right here, let me just give you something. I'm your pastor, so I've got to tell you, I've got to train you. Amen. You may not like my training before it's all over. But I am your pastor. Amen. I'm the one that's going to be responsible for you for now. Amen, at least. On getting it right, I'm going to give you three things that you better put on your list. If you don't remember these, you better write them down. These three things you need to measure. There's a lot of things that you three fellas need. But I want to tell you, these are the first three. I put them on your list for you. Number one, you need to get your belly full of the Word of God. You need to get yourself buried in the book. Amen. I didn't mean exactly like that sounded just a minute ago. I believe I got some church members that got a belly full. They won't come back. I didn't mean it like that. I mean this morning you need to fill yourself up. Brother, fatten yourself on the Word of God. Get so full of God that you can't stand it. And get so loving of the Word of God that you can't keep away from it. But that book becomes your companion. That book becomes your life. That book becomes everything there is for you. You get that book. That book is what you want to learn and get it in your heart. And brother, stuff your soul and be like going down to the restaurant and overeating. Overeat the Word of God, brother. You'll never get too much of it. So I said, you believe in stuffing? I believe in stuffing the Word of God. Amen. It won't give you indigestion. It may get you, make you give you some sleepless nights, but it won't have to have Tums. It'll keep you on your knees before God. That's the first thing you need to do. Amen. You said, what else do I need to do? The second thing you need to do is seek the Lord God in prayer that He will fill your soul with the Holy Ghost of God. Not only will He fill you with the Word of God, but He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost of God and run over. Brother, it'll run over. And it'll run over. And everywhere you go, get so full of God, everywhere you want to go, you want to tell what you learned. And I mean, get in that book to where you've learned enough that it gets exciting. Amen. And get a big smile on your face. And you get to enjoy in talking about the things of God. If you don't get excited about it, how are you going to get anybody else excited about it? If it don't stir you up, how's it going to stir anybody else? So the second thing is to be filled with God. Ask for that heavenly, holy anointing from heaven on high that God might speak to you, because the Holy Ghost is the only one that can put the word. Quit worrying about what you're going to say. Quit worrying about how you're going to say it. Quit worrying about finding words to say it with. Just get the Holy Ghost of God on you and get the Word of God in you and get up and let it go. Amen. Throw away your dictionary. Oh, I mean, when you start majoring on all getting your words proper, you're going to mess up. Do it the best you can, and as you go, learn. I'm still learning English, and you can tell I need to learn some more. But I believe I've been plain enough down through the years that they know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm not going to try to major on words. Paul said, I came not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And then number three, this is just something on the side. This is just something I believe you need to work on. And I put it number three because I believe it ought to be right there right now. You fellas ought to go put somewhere in the woods, get off somewhere by yourself, and get on a big rock and go, glory to God! Hallelujah! I want you to get them vocal cords working so that when you get up here to preach, you won't have to have a microphone, but the ants on the sidewalk out there can't hear you preaching from right there. Amen. You said, preacher. Yes, sir. Amen. What about them preachers the days gone by? They didn't have to have microphones because they didn't have none. And Spurgeon preached to thousands, 10,000 people in one little tabernacle. And he didn't do it this way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're here today to talk about the Lord and His goodness. But he said, glory to God! I'm here. Now, which one's going to wake the dead? The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Spare not! And tell my people their sin. So you practice that, fellas. Amen. I know you're young right now. I didn't have no problem with that problem. I never did. I was raised with three brothers and a sister. And we weren't kind of dignified around the country. We fought like cats and dogs. I was used to screaming at them. They was used to screaming at me. I see some of your heads nod. You've been living like that too, hadn't you? Y'all don't look like y'all been screaming at one another. But it's high time you start screaming to the world to tell them that Jesus saves. Well, I got sidetracked. I don't apologize, but let's go and talk about the wrath of God for a minute. The only thing that man's going to get changed over what he's doing is to be convicted of his sin. You don't get a sinner convicted of his sin, he's going to die and go to hell without God. You've got to get a sinner to recognize he's lost and undone. If you don't get him lost, he'll never get saved. You don't let him see he's a sinner, he'll never. If he never recognizes that he's lost and undone and without God and on his way to hell, he'll never get saved. Never get saved. Well, preacher, what do you mean? Got to have conviction. You know what conviction does? Conviction brings guilt. Guilt is something that most folks today are not preaching. Preachers don't preach the guilt. Amen. You know what we're doing? We're patting sinners on the back. We're squirting rose water. We'll tell them that they're all right. You're going to get by if you do this and if you do that. Brother, what we need to do is preach hell so hot. Brother, if they can feel the flames, heaven's so sweet, they can hear the angels. And brother, they're on the inside, if they got sin, that brother, they'll get stirred up. And get the place, they see the guilt in their sin. Conviction will bring guilt. You know what guilt will do? It'll bring repentance. And you know what repentance does? Repentance brings salvation. Amen. Now listen to me. I want to stop right here just a minute. You never get a sinner convicted, he'll never see his guilt. He'll never see there's a need for repentance. He'll never repent. And if he don't repent, he'll die in his sin and he'll go to hell. Well, preacher, I read the Bible. The Bible don't say nothing about repenting. All right. Brother James, look over in the Bible, please. Look up Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3. I want you to get that and hold it for a minute. Amen. Amen. Brother Virgil, I want you to get Luke chapter 13 and verse 5. And I want you to hold that for me for a minute. Now, Brother James, you got that place? Stand up and exercise them lungs and tell us what it says. Except you what? Except you what again? Already repent. Now, Brother Virgil, would you stand up? Read that verse 5 out of chapter 13. Shall what? Amen. But you got the what? Repent. Now, is that the Bible or not? Somebody said that just two times. And it said, yeah, but it was good enough that he had to say it twice. All right. There got to be. Now, preacher, I believe, according to the Bible, that we've got to confess our sins. That's all we've got to do. Well, amen. We're on the same page. We're singing out of the same hymn book. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. And when you get to Romans chapter 10, I want you to go to verse 9 and 10, which everybody seems to want to quote. We've lived in a society today that everybody's grabbed the Roman road and they can't get off of nothing but the Roman road. And you can get saved off the Roman road, but you can go to hell off the Roman road too. Understand? And I've heard the Roman road crammed down my throat, and I'm not against it. Amen. I'm for all the Bible, any of the Bible. Amen. Every bit of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Read with me. Romans 10, 9 said, that if thou shalt... What's that little word? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that word confession. In verse 9, we've got the word confess. In verse number 10, we've got the word confession. Now somebody says this, preacher, all you've got to do is confess that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and that's all you've got to do. They say there's nothing to it. That word confess just means that you, from your mouth, that's what He said, from your mouth, tell people that you're saved. Yes, that's exactly what it says. All right, but let me give you something else. That word confess has got another little... definition to it. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. In Romans chapter 10, 9, we're confessing Christ. In 1 John 1, 9, He said this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you repent, you said, how can I repent? You confess. You'll never have no repentance outside confession. It's not confessing to some man in a booth. Amen. It's not confessing to the church. It's not confessing to the preacher. But it's confessing our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go to Him and we confess our sins. And if we don't confess our sins to Him, then we have not repented. He will not forgive us. And therefore we cannot confess Christ. You've got to look at that word confess. Amen. People get a hold of this. Brother, I'll tell you what. I've come to the conclusions. You just about have to split hairs now on terminology of the Bible, because we've took an overall view and we've looked at the wrong thing, and people don't even know what salvation is anymore. Amen. That settle anything in your mind? Let's go a little bit further. I want to tell you this morning that we need to be honest with God, and we need some honest to goodness conviction from heaven that men might tremble under the load and the guilt of their sin and know that they're lost and undone. Preaching needs to be preached. The gospel needs to be preached. That they'll begin to tremble like Belshazzar when the handwriting is on the wall. Their knees begin to smite one against another. I remember when men used to do that. God would smite them and they'd walk down the aisle. Brother, tears come out of their face. Brother, out of their eyes. And there they were. Brother, they'd get up and confess the Lord Jesus and talk about how a wicked and old sinner they were. But God had made a brand new creature out of them. Now we're just seeing people change their mind and come out and say, well, now I believe Jesus died for me. I'm saved. How many in here, don't you dare raise your hand. How many in here, that's what the preacher said. How many of you in here believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross? Of course, if they got any sense at all, they're going to raise their hand. How many in here believe that Jesus was buried and rose again on the third day? Yes, sir. Everybody raise their hand. Then if you do that, hey, you just confess Christ. Hey, you're saved. Hey, I want to tell you something. That's not Bible. It's easy believism. And you can go to hell signing cards. You can go to hell shaking preachers' hands. You can go to hell being comfortable with the house of God all the time. But I'll tell you right now, brother, you can't go to hell when your sins have been forgiven, amen, and put on the blood of Christ and you become a new creature. Glory to God. Amen. We need that. Well, I'll tell you right now, modern day religion, you know what it's trying to do? Modern day religion is trying to reform people. It's trying to retrain people. Instead of getting them transformed by the grace of God, they're trying to reform them. Amen. I'll give you an instance in the Word of God where they did that. A fellow jumped up one day and said, I'm tired of the way of living. I just don't like anything anymore. And he took off and said, I'm leaving home. And he took off down there and got in the cemetery. Pulled his clothes off, started hiding and sleeping behind the tombstones, screaming and cutting himself like a crazy wild man. Brother, you think he needed something down there? Yes, he needed something. He was in need, sure enough. And he run through there, and here come old sister so-and-so and said, hey, here's what you need to do, Mr. Legion. You need to quit cussing. Amen. And he run him off and got scared. Then she run home and said, I tried to talk to him about the Lord. Then goes off down there and said, Mr. Legion, what you need to do is quit your old gambling. You're a gambler. You need to get rid of that old gambling. Get rid. And he run them off. Doesn't said, hey, we need to prime and pump him. Doesn't said, I believe I know what I can do with Legion. I've known him all my life. I believe I can talk to him. And he grabbed him a bunch of chains and fetters. He went off down there and said, first of all, I'm going to get his attention. So he wrapped him up in chains and fetters and set him down and said, Mr. Legion, listen to me. What he got to talking to him, trying to tell him what he thought about it. He just broke the chains and the fetters. And that fella hit the high road. Brother went back to the house. Nobody could do anything with him. And they talked about him day and night. One up here and one up. And they'd go down there and try to clean him up. What they was doing, trying to wipe up the outside. They was trying to clean the outside. They was trying to make him look better. Make him act better. Make him live different. Amen. We can go preach that kind of stuff all you want to today. Well, you tell a man you need to quit your cussing, I'll guarantee you he might quit for a day or two. You might say, well, you need to quit your drinking, and he may quit for a month or two, a year or two. But I'll tell you, after a while, you know what's going to happen? He's going to be like a dog that's just puked up on the floor. He's going to turn around and look at it and lick it back up and put it back in his throat. Amen! Because he's a dog. Going to take an old sow, bring her in out of the washing in the water in the mire. Go out there and get her. Brother, you can wash her down. You didn't even know she was white till you washed her. She looked real brown. It deems you red clay looking. Hey, man, you thought you had pink. You'd have thought you had pink pork chops. And it's white all the time. Guess what? Brother, there she is. You wash her up, clean her up. Put some kind of smell good stuff on her, lather her down real good, wash her down with a hose, put some ribbons around her face and her head and her ears, and put a little bow in her tail. That'll be the tail she's got. And she's just grunting. You pet her and rub her on the stomach, and she just grunt. Hey, man, I'm a little old pet like. But next thing you know, you turn your back, she's right back out in the slop yard, in the mire, wallering it because she's a hog. What's a sinner need? He needs to be saved. Preacher, we was talking about the wrath of God. We're still going to talk about the wrath of God. You can't constrain a sinner and make him saved. You can't do it. What do we do, preacher? I'll tell you exactly what we do. We preach to them the Word of God. Now somebody said, what is the wrath of God, preacher? A lot of folks don't know what the wrath of God is. Some believe today that God is like a dictator sitting on the throne. And if He don't like something you do, He just passes judgment on you and brings wrath. That is not the God of my Bible. If you just disagree with God and you get out of plan with God, then God just passes judgment on you. But I want to tell you this morning this one thing. The wrath of God is God's attitude towards sin. You know why God has a wrath? Because there's a three-letter word called S-I-N. You remember when I started preaching this morning? That I said God loves sinners. But what does He hate? God hates sin. Now let me kind of explain this to you. You said, does God love sinners? Yes, sirree, God loves sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son to die for sinners because of their sin. Now you said, preacher, does God love sinners? Yes, sir. How much does God love sinners? He loves them with all His heart, all His soul, all His might. You say, preacher, does God hate sin? Yes, sir, God hates sin. How much does God hate sin? He hates sin as much as He loves sinners. You cannot separate the two. Brother, I want to tell you something. God loves a sinner, but He hates sin at the same rate, the same spot. Brother, God's love for the sinner is not greater than His hate for sin. God is equal. Brother, He's constant. He's consistent. God loves sinners, but He hates sin. And as much as He loves sinners, He hates sin with the same token. That means that God can't love sin in you. God will not tolerate sin. So now we know that God hates sin and God loves sinners. Now you say, preacher, what are you trying to get at? It is right here. The only way that God will accept you this morning and me and where we can get in His favor is somehow God has got to separate the sin and the sinner. You with me? Now I want you to get this. This is some little bitty technical things that most of us in our church down through the years we miss. Preachers not preaching this because they're not getting into the Word of God deep enough to get what I'm talking about. The only way God can love you is to separate you from your sin. He cannot take His arms and put it around you and love you in your sin. Because He'd have to put His arm around your sin, and God will never do that. God said, I love you as a sinner, but I don't like your sin. I hate your sin. So God's got to do that. So God devised a plan. In the eons of time before man ever got here, God said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my Son down to this earth to die for Him on Calvary. I'll tell you what, God said, I think I'll just go down and pay Him a visit myself. I'm going to move out of heaven and I'm going to move down to earth and I'm going to come in the form of my Son and I'm going to become in the flesh through my Son. And that's exactly what He done, and He identified with the world. And while He was here with the world, He reached over and got the sins of the past and the sins of the future, and the sins of the present. And He got a hold of them and put them all around Him and pulled them up to Him and placed them on His back as a heavy load. And He went to the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, He became my sacrifice for my sin. He became the little lamb, the goat, the animals back 100 days past. Brother, He became them. Brother, He took their place and He went to the cross of Calvary in my stead. And He became my sacrifice. And not only did He become my sacrifice, but He became my sin. He took them off of me and put them on His back. That therefore, when He rose from the dead, brother, I got down and confessed my sin and said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Thank God when them sins got gone, brother, they're behind the back of God. God looked at me and said, I don't see nothing now, son, but my blood. Ain't that plain? That's exactly what happened. And brother, I want you to know this morning, hallelujah, brother, I'm about as loose as you can get right now. Ain't nobody ever got drunk on alcohol as much as I'm drunk right now. Amen. I tell you, I can go home right here saying it's been a joy. Been down the house of God. He became sin for me. Brother, He did that for me. Well, you said, how could a God in heaven do that? Well, the only way He can do that is for you to confess your sin. Brother, you've got to get to the place God said, I've done died for the sin of every man. I've done died for the sin of every woman. I've done died for the sin of all people of all the world. And brother, all they've got to do is just confess. I mean, repent and call upon my name. And I'll take that. I'll dismiss their sin because Jesus is their sin for them. And He said, I can take them. You see, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus hung there. And the Bible said, do you listen to this? The Bible said, Jesus said this phrase, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For a point in time and for a moment, all the sins of the world upon the back of the Son of God on the cross that is almost ready to leave this world, God looked down on His Son and His Son looks up to Him and He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now heaven's turned against me. And I believe for a point and a moment of time that God the Father turned His back on His Son and said, you're going to have to go ahead and die, Son. You're going to have to go ahead and pay the debt. You've come into this world for it. And I don't believe Jesus even hesitated. I believe He said, I'm willing. Yes, sir. I'll drink the dregs of the cup. I'll take it all. Not my will be done, but thine be done. And Jesus gave up the ghost. And God said, redemption's price has been paid. And darkness fell upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. So that I could have light the rest of my life. Now you said, preacher, could God put a sinner in hell? I don't believe God would be justified in putting sinners in hell. Let me tell you something. One of these days the Bible said in the book of Revelation that death and hell is going to give up the dead. They're going to stand before a holy God. The books are going to be opened. And one will step up before God, one at a time. And you said, do you believe that God can look him in the eye and cast him into hell? Yes, sir, and not even blink an eye. Why? Because God's love for me and God's wrath for sin are the same, brother, and I'm talking about in intensity. God looks at the sinner and said, I have to do it. I don't want to do it. But I sent you a hope. I sent you a help. I sent you the blood. I sent you a sacrifice. I sent my own Son and you trampled His blood under your feet. You said, away with Him. Let Him be crucified. I don't want no part of this Jesus religion. I don't want no part of this life. And God will look you in the eye and say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And God won't have no remorse at all. Amen. Now, if you can't see that God in the Bible this morning like that, you don't know God. And just put Him to the test. In closing, I'm going to make a big statement. This crowd today, and they make me so, if anything going to curdle my blood and make my blood boil, get me hot under the collar. There's two groups of people. That crowd today that's preaching easy believism that you can quote something and say something and sign a card and get in. That crowd of thieves, brother, are going to stand before God one day. They're stealing the souls of men. The second crowd is that crowd today that said that God has elected some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. God in the beginning of time and before creation said this is going to heaven and that is going to hell. And this is going to heaven and that is going to hell. I'm going to give you two things. Anybody that would teach that kind of rotten doctrine this morning, first of all, is calling God a liar. Because God said He died for all men. And when they teach that, they tell you there's a limited atonement, that Christ only died for a few and only died for those who would choose Him. And brother, I want to tell you something. He died for everybody, whether they would choose Him or reject Him. But right here's the kicker. Y'all get ready to come to instruments and I get this point off. Here's the kicker. If you want to follow that little theory that God puts some in hell and some in heaven according to His choosing, one of these days when God looks over and He says to the sinners, and there comes that great white throne judgment, and death and hell delivers up the dead, and all of them come out before Him and stand before Him. If God had chosen one to go to hell, He can come up and justifiably and be right what He does and point His bony finger in the face of God and said, I would not be here had it not been for You. Because You didn't give me an opportunity. You chose me to go to hell. And I want to tell you something. There's nobody in hell this morning that will ever rise up against God. Everybody may argue their case, but in the end, every person in hell is going to say, yes, Lord, to my own condemnation, You told the truth. You gave me an opportunity, and I chose to be here. And so You're justified in doing what You're doing. But the Bible said, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That means in heaven, in the earth, that means in hell, everybody's going to confess the Lord Jesus. And brother, they'll be justified in being in hell. Get the instruments, please. Come the instruments. Saints of God, God loves the sinner, but He hates sin. God loves the sinner, but God hates sin. And the only way God can justify you and get you in the right proper position and place that you need to be is for you to confess that you're a sinner before Him. He's got to get you separated from your sin. Now you can't quit. You can't tell a sinner to quit his sin. And you know why you can't? He's not going to do it because He loves his sin. If you love something, you'll keep doing it. But the Holy Ghost of God's got to tell him or her, whether it be a man or woman, a boy or girl, it's the Holy Ghost that's got to tell them that there's sin in their life and that they're guilty before God, that they're a sinner before God. And brother, that's the only way they're going to get it settled. You can preach till you're blue in the face, but it's going to take the Holy Ghost of God to put His arm around them and bring them to the Lord Jesus. What's the number? Just as I am, 81? 81 in the blue book, stand. How about it? How about it? I throw the bait out. You're the one that's got to take the bait and come to Christ. I can't change your life, but I know one that can.